Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Just after noon, it is time for our Beltway Blitz. We do it each and every day. We break down the teams in town you care the most about, jam it into a segment, give you a lot of content over 10 or so minutes. So let's get right to it. The Washington football team. Russell is our insider and our buddy, and he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse hotline to kick off the Blitz. Slasherini, I want to start with Ron Rivera saying Dwayne Haskins is right where he needs to be at this junction. Have you noticed Rivera maybe hedging a little bit on Haskins early when he got hired, but starting to come around on the idea of fully throwing his weight and support and endorsement behind him, or do you still think he's keeping this competition open?
No doubt. I think there's been a noticeable, you know, a very noticeable change, not only, you know, mostly from Ron, but just the way everyone around the organization is talking about Dwayne, and that's to Dwayne's credit. Now, that doesn't mean the work stops here and the road just, you know, goes back to last year. That's not what that means. He's, as a matter of fact, he's even got to work harder now that he's in the building every day and they can closely scrutinize everything he does. But clearly, they have been impressed not only by what he's physically done in terms of the weight loss and how good he looks, but guys, I've always said with you all, and anytime I get a chance to write, talk on the station, it is about the mental side of it. It is about the work that you put in the film room to study and understand and process that language. And for him to say it the way he did, and not only to say it the way he did yesterday, Rivera, but to also to thank, I think it was Ben Standing of The Athletic, for actually asking about that and asking about Haskins and how he's doing, to me signified a much, much, much different chord than what we got in January and even in February and March.
It's, if he puts up great numbers and is a fantasy star, it'll be easy to sort of recognize, right? I don't think that's possible with this left side of the offensive line in flux and, quite frankly, inadequate weaponry at tight end and most of the receiver room, non-Terry McLaurin division. What are our metrics here for success for Haskins in this season for a team that's rebuilding?
Well, to me, Danny, I mean, look, I mean, the number, I can't put exact numbers because of all the variables that you just mentioned, and God forbid if something happens to McLaurin, right? I mean, that's the, you know, we think they have a strong running back room, and we know they have a great number one young wide receiver. If something happens to McLaurin, you know, then it's all hands on deck. But here's what I would say. If at the end of the year, if Dwayne Haskins has stayed healthy and played in 15 or 16 games, that's a huge thing, because remember, he was hurt in two of the last three games that he played last year, and he did have some problems protecting himself and getting sacked and not getting rid of the football. That was a noticeable problem. Number two, I would say if his touchdown to turnover ratio overall is at minimum 1.5 to 1 in terms of a ratio, then that is a fairly good sign. Ideally, you'd like it 2 to 1 or even better than 2 to 1, but that's how you can go. Now, if it's 10 to 8 or you're something like that, then something woefully went wrong. But I think that's how you kind of use the measuring stick for Dwayne, because we all understand they are short on weapons, and it's not exactly fair to him to purely judge him compared to other great quarterbacks who have many more weapons.
Slash, I'm going to read you a quote from Jack Del Rio, and I want you to react to it. He said, I have personal views that would probably not sit well with my occupation right now. I think I'll just leave it like that, when he was asked by The Athletic about players opting out. Jack Del Rio has proven himself to be a social media wild card, hadn't he?
Yeah. I cracked last night. I said, you know, and this was the nicest way I could say it, is he is going to be interesting to cover, man. You know, this isn't Joe Barry. This isn't Greg Minuski by any means, or even my guy Hags. You know, I mean, he is a wild card. And, with this, I mean, I fully expect there's going to be something at some point this year, Grant, that we go, oh, my God, how dumb was that for him to say, even if he thinks it. And that's the problem. He's got to figure out a way in today's very, very, very sensitive, overly sensitive society on everything to just shut up and to just keep those kind of thoughts to himself. He can talk about it at the dinner table. He can talk about it maybe to, I don't know, somebody on his staff, as long as it's not in front of, you know, players or somebody that could hear it and then take offense and say, oh, why is our defensive coordinator popping off like that?
So that's what interests me, Chris, by the way. It's one thing when the Twitter mob gets angry at you and they want you canceled or they want to fire you. What's interesting to me about this, when he pops off politically or says some of the things he said, most of the comments that get him in hot water with fans are not going to go over great, I wouldn't think, with the players he coaches.
Right.
And that relationship is where I care, not about what some fan thinks on Twitter.
No, no doubt. And we don't know exactly what he meant by that, but there is no doubt that he is, again, going to be responsible for everything that he says, not only on Twitter, but also in practices and in the film room. I mean, you can't talk to people like any football coaches, old guard football coaches, old guard people, and Jack's fairly young. You can't talk to people in 2020 the same way you could talk to them, never mind in 2000. You can't talk to them the same way you probably talked to them in 2015. You know, so he's got to really, 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 really be careful with whatever his political beliefs are, and he has every right, I suppose, to have whatever political beliefs he has or whatever beliefs in general he has, especially, like you said, when he's talking about essentially, having a hard time understanding how people are walking away from their career. And if he's talking about the Josh Harvey Clemens and the Caleb Brantleys of the world, well, you know what? Look, you don't have to necessarily agree, and maybe you think they should have toughened it out, but you don't know their situation, and you don't know why they did it necessarily, and you don't have to like it, but probably should respect it if that's what this is all about, largely.
Russell, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk some Nationals, please, and I'll make that sound. Oh, we did it! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Dave Jagler calls Nats games here on Every Night 106.7 The Fan with Charlie Slows. Jags, Tanner Rainey has been electric. It's like he figured out his stuff is ridiculous, and if you throw strikes, he'll get outs. How big was he last night?
Well, how big has he been over the first eight games of the year? To me, he's the unsung hero, or maybe the biggest plus side or surprise of 2020 so far. And, you know, Tanner Rainey always had the ridiculously good stuff. He just couldn't harness the control and the command. I'm sure the rest of the league might be going, Tanner figured out how to throw strikes. And if you remember last year, Davey Martinez, with good reason, kind of shied away from bringing Rainey in with men on base because you didn't know if he was going to be, you know, good Tanner or wild Tanner. But now he has the confidence, you know, brought him in last night, two on, no out, to face the heart of the order, 3-4-5, strikes out Alonso with a challenge fastball, gets Ramos, gets Conforto. I mean, he's flashing legitimate ninth-inning stuff. And the fastball, you know, last year was 98-99. I'm seeing some more 95-96, but with better control and command. So I'll take a few less miles per hour for him to be able to spot it better. And then once he gets ahead, it's a wipeout slider. So it's Davey's new favorite toy in the bullpen, and he's going to keep getting high-leverage situations as long as he's throwing strikes.
Dave, is Juan Soto ever going to play again?
I'm going to guess he's in the lineup tonight. How about that? Are we going to go with that? I'm sure he's going to be in there tonight against the righty. He's a good dancer, though.
I was thinking he was going to be in the lineup yesterday.
I just want to see him play.
And then we didn't see him. It would just be nice. I don't know if DC's going to somehow get involved again and say they want him to wait like six more weeks. I don't know what's going to happen.
No, I mean, this one was, I think, a little bit on Juan himself. I mean, it was very rare. I mean, how many times in his 2 years has Soto been kind of a healthy scratch, if you will? The times where he's been on the active roster and not been in the starting lineup have been very few, but they basically, you know, they rushed to get him ready for the regular season, then they had to back off him again, and then they rushed in the weekend of the Marlins series being canceled to get him ready, and he kind of admitted to Davey that his legs were a little heavy. So, I mean, you can't risk at this stage, you know, pushing it. I mean, we saw the Mets were out three-fourths of their starting infield going into last night's game, and they lost one of them to the injured list. If you have to put him on the IL, then you're talking another week and a half to 2 weeks, which is a huge chunk of the season. So I would anticipate he'd be in there tonight, but it's possible if they get a lead, they might take him out defensively in the late innings, which they've not done before, just to save his legs and kind of build him up, because you know, he really had very little of summer training or spring training 2.0. So it is kind of a rush job to get him ready.
Jax, who's impressed you most in this order? I mean, Howie Kendrick finally broke out last night. He'd been the hard luck out machine, just hitting BBs at people. So he goes 4-for-4 last night. Who at the dish has impressed you the most at this young stage of the season?
Well, I mean, I like what I see from Cabrera. I mean, he's been in there every day. We thought he might kind of split playing time with Keboom at third. I mean, he's hitting bullets. And, you know, the numbers left-handed aren't as strong as right-handed. But it seems like he's had some hard outs left-handed. But every time he gets a hit, it seems to be an extra base hit, and it seems to drive in runs. So he's been, you know, he started the year hitting, what, 6th, 7th? Now he's hitting 4th. I mean, we'll see what it is now with Soto getting back in there. But Cabrera's swinging it well. You know, Keboom's given them some nice at-bats. He's been patient. He's taken his walks. He had an opposite field single last night to drive in a run. So, you know, they're getting some production up and down the lineup. You know, Turner had a good few games. He's been off the last couple games. Hopefully Turner and Eaton can get on base tonight and set the table for the big boys.
Max Scherzer going this evening, 3 straight wins, back to .500. I guess things are starting to look up, Jags. This is what we were banking on when the year began.
Yeah, I mean, and they've got a chance now, honestly, Grant, for a run here. If they can win this game, you get over .500. You got the Orioles coming in this weekend, and then finally they'll play some road games. So, I mean, at this stage of the year, even though it is a sprint, if you're right around .500 going into September and have a good last month of the season, you'll find a way to sneak in with the expanded playoffs.
Jags, thank you as always. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Listen to the game, 6:05, right here on The Fan. The aforementioned Dave Jagler and Charlie Slows, they keep you company each and every Nats game right here on your flagship home for Nationals baseball. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies today, the president of baseball operations. Want to let you know what he told the Junkies about some of the precautions the team is taking to stay safe. We could do that next. Plus, new Nat Josh Harrison's on the show today at 1 o'clock on G&D. At the bottom of the hour at 12:30 on Grant and Danny, big college football news today is UConn has decided it will not have a 2020 season, and the Big Ten is going to start on September 3rd. They've released some details on their schedule and some of the protocols that they've updated for this COVID campaign in 2020. Speaking of which, though, the Nationals are trying to make chicken salad out of you-know-what in Major League Baseball this year. They've won 3 straight games. They are now 4-4. This morning, Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies, and they asked him, you know, about some of the things they're trying to do to stay healthy after seeing the Marlins get ravaged by the coronavirus. This is what Rizzo said about his ball club.
Well, I think you do. You have to have great trust in your team. You have to make sure that we all have our focus in on winning, and winning means staying healthy and doing what you're supposed to do. And you know, we've kind of put our lives on hold here for 3 months. It's like you're going to be away from your families for 3 months. There's not many, if any, families are with these players now here in D.C. They won't be with us on the road. We're going to be in our own self-induced bubble, if you will, to make sure that we keep everybody healthy and on the field, and keeping them safe. And that's our main goal right now. And yes, you do have to trust each other. And it only takes one, and the weakest link could be the one that's most costly. So. This is a team thing. It's, you know, it's a leadership thing. We have to lead by example. We have to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing. And these players, they have to police themselves. And I know that in this clubhouse, on this team, the leadership group has talked hours on end about what we have to do to stay on the field. And I would guarantee you that you know, no team's impervious of you know, getting this thing or you know, accidentally contracting, you know, the virus and spreading around. But you know, we feel that if you take care of each other and take care of yourself and make everybody accountable, it really is much more difficult to, you know, to get this thing throughout the clubhouse.
Mike Rizzo with the Junkies this morning, and you can hear that whole interview at thefandc.com. He joins them each and every Wednesday. The reason I wanted to play that, though, Danny, and react to it with you was, A, it gives you a lot of confidence, I think, in the way the Nats are handling themselves. Now, anything could happen, and it could be a clubby who goes to a buddy's birthday party and who gets one of the players infected, and then 14 guys get the coronavirus and everyone was trying to do their best. There's no team that's going to be able to run from this thing if it infiltrates the clubhouse. But you juxtapose what Rizzo's talking about, and at least the narrative he's pushing there with the meetings they're having, the leadership council that they've got, the amount that they're drilling into these players that they have to live differently. I didn't even realize that a lot of guys don't have their families around, mm-hmm. that they've basically self-induced their own bubbles. That's pretty amazing. And it is very different than what you've heard with the Cardinals going to a casino. Some of the Marlins who were out and about, you know, going out at night. I know some of the Yankees went out and were drinking in Arlington and hanging out at a bar when they were here. Now, the Nats have not been on the road yet, so maybe they'll be the next team to make a bad decision, and they'll have 7 cases sometime a week or two from now. But I thought that was really interesting to hear Rizzo talk about just how much these guys have buckled down right now, because a lot's being asked of them.
Indeed. I mean, that's the focus, and it just shows you it's not even up to them necessarily how somebody's negligence can take it away. They basically had a week off in the middle of the season because a couple of the Marlins had to go to the hotel bar for some reason. And the attitude that Rizzo sort of characterized or put a voice to is the attitude that you should always have all the time. It doesn't mean you don't have recreation. It doesn't mean you are a shut-in. You're not a hermit in the 20 hours you're not at the baseball field per day. But it should always be with an eye towards that, right? Meaning, is this good for the ball club? Is me going out until 5 in the morning getting hammered and taking an Uber good for me playing the next day? Probably not. The veteran ball club has that kind of attitude. And this is now, you take that attitude, you multiply it times a million, because not doing the right thing could be as simple as getting a cup of coffee, or could be as simple as sort of breaking quarantine. And yesterday, it was really, really nice. There was a beautiful video the Nats produced with a bunch of the families of guys that are separate from them. Just sort of wishing them well, and it was really well put together. It was awesome, and everybody kind of stopped their warm-ups and looked up to see their, you know, their wives and children and or parents, in the case of Carter Kieboom, wishing all the kids well. It was really, really cool and thoughtful. So, yeah, guys are sacrificing for it. I know everybody wants to roll their eyes at that and say they get millions to play a game. Well, that's cool. They're still sacrificing. So whether or not you think it's legitimate, that's on you. That's cool. But this was that was really refreshing to hear from Rizzo.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can make a lot of money and still make a massive sacrifice, to your point. And I think it's important to remember what these guys are opting into as well. I mean, look, no disrespect to Ryan Zimmerman. I hope it's not taken that way, because I love the guy. You're personally friendly with him and know him very well. But if everyone did what Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross did, we wouldn't have a baseball season. You know, the Major League Baseball season would have shut down. That we wouldn't have the sport, which has persevered through war times and all types of different things. Now, in the case of Zim, I think it was a no-brainer decision for him. I think he did the right thing. I mean, he's got a mom with MS. He has a newborn baby. And any player who's got a mom with that circumstance or a newborn baby, whether it's Mike Trout, who just had a baby and homered in his first at bat back, or anybody else, I totally understand that decision that they made. I think Ryan Zimmerman probably did the right thing, frankly. My point is not to in any way come down upon him, but to say, if everyone opted out, there's no baseball. It's just not happening. So the guys that are kind of carrying the torch forward for this sport, maybe it's Carter Kieboom, who doesn't have a kid yet, whose mom doesn't have an issue. You know, and he feels like this is now his onus to carry, as this game has always been there through these times of tribulation in our country. I commend the players who are giving the American public, and in the case of the Blue Jays, I guess, you know, north of the border as well, people in this country the opportunity to have a distraction each night and to give them a little bit more normalcy. I think it's awesome. It's been such a breath of fresh air for me, and I know people that love baseball. It's been a joy provider in a way that we just haven't had. So it means a lot that these players are doing this. And just hearing Rizzo talk about some of the things that they are doing to ensure that baseball continues to be played was a big, big deal. But I would just say that there is no way to completely prevent this. Like, we came down really hard on the Marlins. Now the Cardinals are getting beat up a little bit. There could be a team, and maybe those two aren't the example, I don't know. But there could be a team that does everything 100% correctly, and they got 14 cases a week or two from now. And it could be the Nats or the Pirates or the Reds or the Yankees. Nobody knows who's next. But it seems like baseball's going to do everything it can to push forward. It's going to do everything it can to persevere. You know, we thought if there was another outbreak that it would be over, and the Cardinals technically are the next outbreak, and we've just shut them down for now. We've gone to seven-inning doubleheaders. So the plan for Rob Manfred is this is a train that Denzel's on, man. It's unstoppable. He's just going to keep riding forward as long as there aren't players getting seriously ill, I suppose.
So when we find out that an infection happened or an outbreak happened, so whatever you want to call it, because guys did something that they were explicitly told not to do, yeah, I think people are going to get annoyed by that. Again, especially think of the victims here. The Nationals only lost a weekend's worth of games, but the Phillies have only played four games to this point. They've got to play 57 and 48 days, whatever the hell it is. If I'm Andrew McCutchen and I'm on the Phillies, I'm furious at the Marlins, furious at them. So the you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link is especially true in this case. But if it just so happens that everybody does everything right, and still this virus is not just stopping people that have done the right things. I mean, you know, I've got friends of friends where it's just, yeah, I contracted it. I was super careful. I was terrified. I wore a mask at the grocery store. Still got it, right? That if that happens, I don't think people will be as outraged as they are at teams that you know, just couldn't be bothered to follow the rules because they didn't take it seriously.
Josh Harrison hit a home run, one of the Nats, who's been masking up and making sure baseball keeps being played. Last night he said, for me, my last meaningful game came on Thursday, May 27th of last year. It was over a year of me being injured, so for me, fans or no fans, I'm just excited to be out there. And you can see that as he was dancing after his homer. He will join us on Grant and Danny today in a half hour at 1 o'clock. Next, college football. A tough break in college football as a team has decided it will not have a season. Could this lead to a tidal wave of decisions from other programs just like it? Next on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. UConn this morning, which last month left the American Athletic Conference, announced that it is suspending its football program for the 2020 season because of the coronavirus. UConn was 2-10 last year, final year in the AAC. They were set to play as an independent. They'd already had a bunch of their games banged and weren't going to be on the schedule anyway because a lot of conferences are going to conference-only play. And because of that, they were going to play a watered-down, minimized schedule. Randy Edsall said, look, I'm not taking on the risk as the head coach, and our athletic director's not the one taking on the risk. He went to the players and talked to them, and it seems as though he got enough pushback, or at least enough players who were concerned, that they decided to prioritize keeping a year of eligibility for the future rather than wasting one of those years in this makeshift pandemic-stricken season. And so UConn will not be playing. This is kind of like, Danny, you know, someone leaving a party and no one really noticing they were there, I guess, because no disrespect to UConn coming off the 2-10 year, but, I mean, if football was more important to that school or if that school was more of a factor, this might have been a more difficult decision. I hate to say that for those kids, but no, it's not like USC or Alabama or Auburn or somebody canceled football. That having been said, it's a big deal because this is not nothing. I mean, this is not some, you know, Division 17 program. This is a NCAA school at the highest level who's saying they will not play ball this year. First school to do that without their conference making the decision for them.
Yeah, it's not Penn State doing it, to your point. It doesn't mean it's not a loss. It doesn't mean that other schools won't follow suit. But that's part of it. I mean, the Ivy League did this a month ago or whatever the date was. They said, yeah, it's not going to happen. We're just not going to do this. So peace out and thank you very much. The programs that will do it, I mean, UConn's in a spot, especially as an independent that's not part of a conference, where this was an uphill battle anyway to kind of get their footing, et cetera, right? When you look at, you know, other schools that may not have that, you know, the cachet of a Notre Dame formerly an independent, right? You may not be able to get these games in this year because teams and schools rightfully are going to prioritize conference play, right? Because you get something more definitive out of that. Non-conference, with all due respect to the 1AA school that you pay $1 million to show up and lose by 50, you know, non-Appalachian State Division at Michigan, by the way. But for the most part, those are expendable games. The conference games are really what, you know, it's the first and foremost layer of importance, and that's going to decide your bowls and championships and everything like that. So the Big Ten's already like, yep, we're full steam ahead with just conference games. I imagine the other conferences will follow suit when they get their ducks in a row. But, yeah, I would expect some schools that are at that UConn level to say, this ain't going to work. We're just not going to do it because we're not going to be able to get the games in.
Yeah, it's case to case. I think it's also going to be financially a question as to whether or not you feel like you could pull it off. I don't expect this to be some type of, forgive the phrasing, pandemic, you know, some type of issue now where UConn does it and it's a wave and it's dominoes. The next school does it, and next thing you know, 15 teams have done this by the end of the week or something like that. I'm going to read an excerpt from an ESPN piece on UConn's program. It says they've been one of the most cash-strapped athletics departments in the FBS. In 2018, according to financial data filed with the NCAA, UConn generated $79.3 million in revenue. About 49% of that revenue came from institutional support, $30.5 million, and student fees, $8.5 million. Over $2.7 million was raised from donors, about $2.4 million from football ticket sales, according to the data. So they don't necessarily benefit as much from football as mm-hmm. a lot of the other schools that we often talk about when we speak about the importance of these schools having football to keep themselves afloat. In fact, it's been speculated that they're going to be better off economically by not having a season, that they may lose fewer dollars, essentially, by not having to worry about this. But that's specifically the case when you're an independent now and some of those games where you might be able to play elite teams and get paid a little bit to do it go away. They were already not going to be able to play their road games at Illinois or Ole Miss, their games against Indiana and Maine at home. That was a game where presumably an FCS foe in Maine would have got paid to come there. But those games were not going to happen. Virginia Tech, North Carolina, or excuse me, UVA and North Carolina up in the air as well. So mm-hmm. I think this is probably a one-off. You know how this works. People are going to make it into now what's about to start happening in college football. I'm not sure that that's the case. What is about to start happening in college football, and you just said this, was what we saw from the Big Ten, so why don't we hop over there? The football schedule being released this morning, right before we went on the air, this is the plan. So they're going to start on September 5th. Final game is slated for November 21. They want to align it with the academic calendar. Big Ten football championship game scheduled for December 5th at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis where the Colts play. Mm-hmm. If for some reason they can't pull that off or things get pushed back a couple of weeks, the game could be played as late as December 19th, right before the holiday. But the schedules for every single team with their bye week are out. Michigan and Ohio State going head-to-head, the tradition that is just so necessary in that conference. Now, this will be the first time since 1942, Danny, that those two rivals will not end the regular season playing each other. They're going to play on October 24th, much earlier in the year, as they've had to throw the schedules into a blender.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago, where the priority's got to be your conference games. Like, if you're going to pick, I know I want that juicy matchup. I want Notre Dame to travel to USC every year, and I want to see, you know, Florida State, Florida. I want to see, you know, the Miami take on Florida, you know, that battle down there and some of the different ones. But the main rivalries, the best way to get the best results, looking at what baseball did, right? They said, you know what, let's not travel. Let's just have you play your own division a bunch and then teams kind of in your own region. We'll do that. The best way for college football to get the most true result with the fewest amount of risk, I mean, this is all relative, obviously. There's still a ton of risk when you're talking about football and kids on campus, but it's to get those conference games in. And that's where the money is. When Texas plays Oklahoma, that just matters so much. That if you're gonna pick one game, Texas-Oklahoma or Texas-Rice, you're picking Texas-Oklahoma, right? That Red River Shootout means so much.
Now, I don't want to be the rain on the parade guy, okay? But I am going to be realistic and be honest, which is what we always try to be.
Listen, Grant, hold on.
The commissioner of the Big Ten is Kevin Warren.
I was going to say, you could be the rain on the parade guy. You've earned that right as a bookshelf guy. Bookshelf guys give it to you straight. You are a bookshelf guy now, and you can give hardcore facts and not be judged for it.
Big-time bookshelf guy. That's true.
Big bookshelf guy.
Bobbleheads on the bookshelf, not books. Very important distinction, though. Bookshelf guy without books, different than bookshelf guy with books. Bookshelf guy with bobbleheads feels like a different kind of guy.
Expert. You're still a bookshelf guy, dude. It's a shelf for books. You can use it however you see fit.
Even if there's no books, I'm an expert.
If there's no books.
Not as well read. Commissioner of the Big Ten is Kevin Warren. So he did an interview with the Big Ten Network, and he reiterated when the schedule was released that there is no guarantee, obviously, that these sports will be played. I am still betting against college football. And I really do hope I'm wrong. I just don't see how, with the scope of the number of teams and the number of students participating and these campuses where I don't know how you're quarantining away from other students who don't have nearly as much on the line in their own minds if they get sick. I think you're talking about not necessarily players who need to stay healthy, but just kids that wouldn't be going to class if they got sick and in their minds are going to be fine otherwise. To try to convince a 20- or 21-year-old to follow the rules, I think it's one of the toughest groups in society to kind of dictate terms to. So I think it's going to be a nightmare. I don't think it's going to work, and I don't think we'll have college football, and I hope I'm wrong. Fingers are crossed for, you know, the Maryland fans listening that you get to open the season like you're planning on doing now and play Iowa and Michigan State and Rutgers and Northwestern and Wisconsin all in the first 5 weeks before you're bye. But I will bet against it, Danny. What about you?
That's what I'm betting. That's what I'm going with. I don't think there's a way. Well, let me rephrase. There's a way, but I just don't see it happening. I see
just
blind luck and some of this, and you know, the for every Texas, Georgia, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Alabama, right? For every one of those, there are going to be 10 schools like Toledo and SMU and Fresno State and Tulsa that just say, we can't do this. We can't do it. But I think the big boys might find a way to get through and we get our premium college football. We don't get the DAR stuff where he's betting DFS on an East Carolina, Florida International game on a Tuesday for some reason. You know what I mean? I think we don't get the small level stuff because they just say this is too untenable and Louisiana Monroe doesn't play and Kent State doesn't play. But somehow we still get Florida, Georgia. Somehow we still get Wisconsin and Penn State. Some of the big boys get to play. They sneak through. But for the most part, that's what I bet against it. I don't see how you can get college kids to do the same stuff that we're having trouble getting pros to do.
That is the big point. These guys that are getting paid millions, and in some cases have tens of millions of dollars on the line, in some cases are having a hard time doing it. And they're more mature, and they're older, and they presumably understand the risks a little bit more. And now you're going to ask 18 to 21-year-olds that aren't making any money to do it. It's just hard to fathom it. Because I'm a bookshelf guy, I'm going to take to Twitter to ask a poll. Only bookshelf guys are allowed to do that, as you know.
Bookshelf guy.
Will there be a college football season this fall? Yes or no? Very binary, yes or no poll right now at Grant H. Paulson. You can vote, and we will get the responses in just a few minutes. We also want to hear from you guys. You can call us at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067 on G&D. You're going to tell me if it just means that I'm an old man that's like 85 years old?
Yes.
Or if it's a reasonable complaint. Okay? Uh-huh. We'll play that game coming up in just a few. Update the poll, though. At Grant H. Paulson, we asked you, will there be a college football season this fall? 32% of you are saying, yes, there will be a college football season. 67% are saying, no, there will not be a college football season right now. And again, the poll just got posted, but that is with about 400 votes in. So about two-thirds of you saying no chance there's a college football season. Now, a lot of people are asking, what does the season mean? What if they start and don't finish?
What counts, yeah.
I would say that if they start and don't finish, that's not a season. A season is, are they going to be able to play the college football season? Are they going to crown a champion? Are they going to get to the college football playoffs? Are we going to have bowl games? Are they going to play their 10-game schedule that the Big Ten just came out with? That's what a season would constitute. I say no. 66% of people are saying no, but there are still a third of people or so that are hopeful, and think that it will happen.
Yeah, so if that's the definition, and I already voted, I'm saying no, too. I think they'll start. I do. I think they'll start, and then it'll get to a point where they go, this is irresponsible. We just can't do it. We can't. And some people are going to say that it's irresponsible to even try, and I disagree with that. I think it's okay to try. I think it's okay if everybody's kind of thoughtful, and it doesn't sound like they have been at this point, but if you try to take precautions, if you give these young men the guidelines and try to get everybody to opt in, and this is a responsibility challenge. This is a maturity challenge. This is something that's not easy to do. Hey, take this seriously. I just don't think it's realistic because, again, college rosters and who's around the program is so large. It's bigger even than the NFL in a lot of cases. When you start talking about red shirts, and they can go 110 guys deep in some programs. I mean, the number of guys on the sidelines with all the trainers and things to keep everybody healthy and upright. I just think it's too unwieldy. I think it's the numbers are too great. College campuses are too risky when it comes to that sort of thing. I mean, just something as simple as a cold rips through a dorm at light speed. This is a highly infectious disease that is going to be an issue. And I think it's okay to try, but I don't see it making it to the end. I just don't.
A listener named Spencer responded to the poll and got me thinking. He said there won't be a complete NFL season either. It will have to be shut down. That's something we can get to a little bit later, but what is the difference? Because I would vote on a poll like this for the NFL that, yes, they will get through the season. Obviously, it's the professional ranks, and there's more money at stake, and guys are getting paid a lot of money to opt in to do this. But that's something worth talking about. All right, so real quick then, before we get to Josh Harrison, the new Washington National, the multi-time All-Star with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who hit a home run last night, who I've talked to on the air in the past at MLB Network Radio, is an awesome dude, so I'm looking forward to catching up with him coming up in about 10 minutes. I got a game here, Danny. It's called You're Old or You're Reasonable. So
all right,
you will be
here we go.
The vote for me. Am I old or am I reasonable, all right?
Go.
Every time I leave a room, I turn off all the lights, and it's important to me that the lights are off when I leave the room.
Reasonable. Reasonable.
Okay.
Now, some people will say that's what old people do, but that also can be reasonable. I think that's a reasonable thing.
I am bothered when I go for a walk with the stroller, the dog, both, one or the other, by the branches that hang over the sidewalk in my neighborhood. I'm annoyed by them, and I contemplate getting out my clippers and coming and clipping them so that they don't hang over the sidewalk in my neighborhood.
That is old. That is old. That's what an old person would think. That is an old
behavior. Not even a
little
bit reasonable?
Nope. That is something that should not affect you at all. That is a very, very, very small, tiny detail that shouldn't concern you in the slightest. That's not quite as nuts as you brushing off any kind of thing that may have fallen near your driveway every 17 or 18 seconds instead of doing it in one fell swoop. But it's in that ballpark.
I need to immediately go over and clean the tray the baby just ate on as soon as she's done eating because there's gross food on it, and it just bothers me so much. So, like, the baby goes up to take a bath with the wife, and the moment they hit the steps, I'm over there wiping down the tray, putting it in the sink, and cleaning it off.
That's neither. That's not necessarily an old behavior, nor is it reasonable. This goes to your food thing. Like, you can't have anybody that may have food on their face, you throw a conniption. You can't handle it. And that's really what this is married to. So that's not an old thing, nor is it reasonable. That's your idiosyncrasy. That is something that is unique to you, my friend.
When nobody's using the TV, I want it powered completely off. So we've got a frame TV in the house now, which you spend a good bit of money on. It basically is artwork when it's not a TV, which when people are there to show it to or what have you, then it's cool to have the TV that looks like artwork. But to me, when we're not showing it to someone or we're not watching the TV, it should be off all the time. It's a point of consternation between me and my wife. Is that old or is that reasonable?
Old. That's old. If the
really?
Part of the point is that it's an art installation, then let it be that. Right?
But I feel like it's an art installation for when people are over. Like, we know that it's art. Mm-hmm. We don't need to use that extra power to show that it's art for ourselves. We just have the TV off.
That's a very small amount of power. That's like 11 cents per month. If it's a nice comforting thing, that's old behavior.
Okay, I'll take that. I've got two more here quickly before we get to Josh Harrison at the top of the hour.
I like this game, by the way. I love this.
Thank you. I'll come up with more tomorrow if you want. I don't like mail on the counter unless it's stacked in a nice tidy pile. So, like, we go get the mail, we come in, we open it, it's left on the counter. It needs to be all very nice and tidy.
That is old. That is old. Who cares? Who cares where it is? Who cares if it was strewn about in two or three different places? Who cares if it was messily done on that counter? You should be fine with that. That is old.
Lastly, I need a fan on me, on my head ideally, but directly on me while I sleep at all times.
That's not old. That's a comfort thing. Sleep comfort is not
reasonable.
Is not necessarily is yeah. So that's I would say that's reasonable. That is just fine. Because
right.
I'm in hot every day of my life, without question. Even on freezing days, I have somehow been hot. I'm hot when I sleep. You cannot be hot when you sleep. A fan on you, both for the sound and comfort, no problem.
So you feel okay overall about the new game?
Yeah, that's a great game.
All right, old or reasonable? We'll run it back soon because I have others. We just have to get to Josh Harris. Two-time Major League All-Star who just signed with the Nats at a big home run last night. We'll talk to him next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.